Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We have been speaking on the signs of the coming kingdom of God. This is indeed the fourth part of the signs of the coming kingdom of God. We have said that Jesus Christ spoke about the kingdom of God as God's will for now and for the future. So that is how Jesus Christ taught the kingdom of God, as something that is God's will for you now and God's will for the future. God does not change, so his will does not change. If he has something for us in the future, it means that he wants us to enjoy it now, because he doesn't change. There is no today, tomorrow, and then maybe yesterday with God. He dwells in a big eternal now. So we have taught that there is coming a full manifestation of God's kingdom on earth among all peoples of this earth, and that we prepare for this future kingdom by living in it now. We prepare for the future kingdom by living in it now. So our current kingdom life will determine our future kingdom life. Alright, Jesus Christ talked about the kingdom of God in three ways. He said that you can either see it, enter it, or inherit it. These are all processes, and it's very pertinent for us to understand what Jesus Christ taught about the coming kingdom of God. So last week we looked at Acts chapter 3 verse 19 to 23, and I want us to continue speaking on that subject from Acts 3 verse 19 to 23. We noted some 4 hours. I just want to take some 5 minutes or so to bring you up to speed with some of the things that we did, so that I can have the flow and the continuity. So we spoke on some 4 hours from Acts 3, 19 to 23. We spoke about the subject of repentance. We spoke about repent and then refresh and then restore and then return of Jesus Christ. So it's a process. Peter said that repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come. So from repent, you get times of refreshing, and then from that you get a restoration. Verse 21, whom the heaven, Jesus, must be received by the heaven, or will not come until the times of restitution or restoration. So until the return of Christ, there is going to be repentance, refreshment, restoration, and the fourth one is the return. If these three things do not take place, don't expect the return of Jesus, because the Bible said that you must repent. You see, one of these hours determines the other. In other words, it is when you repent that you have his refreshing presence, and then you will have his restoration of all the things that the prophets have spoken, and then finally you will have the return of Jesus Christ. So we spoke about two types of repentance: religious repentance and kingdom repentance. We spoke about refreshment. All right, on the repentance, we also looked at two types of repentance, or two things to repent of. We looked at repenting from sin for righteousness, and repenting from religion for the kingdom, from man's ways and thoughts and logic for God's wisdom and God's ways and God's thoughts. All right, we ended saying that we must pray for kingdom repentance. Kingdom repentance is one that is God-induced. It is God-centered. It is based upon the person of God. God is the inspirer. God is the reason. Because of that, because it is founded upon God, such a repentance lasts the test of time, and really it is a type of repentance that God recognized. Not any other repentance for punishment, for fear of punishment, fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of judgment, fear of loss of a blessing. We want to look at repentance that is based upon the person of God. Hallelujah. Right, that is what God really recognizes. And then we spoke about refreshment. We said that there are three presence of God in the scriptures. We have the convicting presence of God, we have the miraculous presence of God, and the refreshing presence of God. The refreshing presence of God is the sign of the coming kingdom, not the miraculous presence or the convicting presence of God. The refreshing, it says that there will come kairos of refreshment, and there needs to come those kairos moments of refreshment, because in the Greek, really, the word translated refresh is the word revive, and it has the idea of somebody who is not dead, who is alive, but who needs to be revived, like he is in a coma. He has got life, he hears everything that is going on. Okay, when you are in a coma, you can hear whatever thing that is going on. The only problem is that you can't move your hands to do anything, and you can't move your limbs to do anything. So the refreshing presence of God, we said that it comes to make us responsive to the word of God that we know about already, that we have heard already, which we have not taken any step about. The refreshing presence of God, it comes when we have kingdom repentance. It follows by a refreshing presence of God that makes us move our hands to do the things God wants us to do, and move our limbs to do the things, so that spiritual comatose is overcome, because there are so much spiritual comatose in the body of Christ. People who are Christians, who are alive, who are not dead, who hears a lot of things, but they can't move their hands to do it. They can't take a step even to walk in it, and they are in a sleepy state. But God is waking up his church by the refreshing presence of God. It's very important for us to pray for God's refreshing presence. Now, having the refreshing presence of God leads us, or determines, that the chronos of restitution. All right, the chronos of restitution is talking about a period of time that God is going to restore things unto us. And specifically, the Bible said that, verse 21, now Acts chapter 3, kindly look into your Bible, whom the heaven must receive until the times. That's the chronos in the Greek, the chronos of restitution of all things, restoring all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So before Jesus Christ comes, the Bible says that the heaven must hold him until all of the things that the prophets have spoken from the beginning of the world is restored unto us. So there is a period of restoration. Now, we ended up talking about what the major prophet, the ultimate prophet, Jesus. I like the way he ministers, because he is a prophet of prophets. He's not a prophet like Elijah or like Elisha, who has to get a minstrel for the minstrel to play and for him to prophesy. Jesus doesn't need singers in his crusade. He doesn't use anybody. He doesn't need atmosphere. You can be shouting, doing whatever thing. If he has to prophesy, he will prophesy. If he has to work a miracle, he doesn't need a long time of praises in order for him to be able to work a miracle. So we looked at what the prophet of prophets prophesied about in Matthew 24 verse 14, when Jesus prophesied the restoration of the gospel of the kingdom to benefit all ethnos, all people groups, with the works of God before the kingdom of God can come physically on this earth. So we spoke about the restoration of the kingdom of God. Now today, I want us to continue from there, and we want to look at some seven restoration prophecies that have been spoken by prophets since the world began. So moving away from the major prophet of all prophets, Moses said that there is coming somebody who is like me. God will raise him up, and you shall listen to what he says concerning restoration. Now, Jesus Christ has said so much about restoration. We spoke about the major one, restoring the gospel of the kingdom. Today, we want to move on to look at seven restoration prophecies spoken by prophets since the world began. Are you with me so far? All right. So we want to look at three today. I hope we can look at three. If not, we will just stop wherever we reach. But we want to talk about the first restoration prophecy in the book of Psalm 23, where it is prophesied that under the shepherding of Jesus Christ, there is coming a restoration of human souls. A restoration of human souls. Psalm 23, he restored my soul. So one restoration that has been prophesied about that would happen under the shepherding ministry. When Jesus is your shepherd, he has to fulfill something. He has to restore or repair. He has to reconstitute, he has to rehabilitate your soul. Now, the soul of a man is talking about the essence of a man. E-S-S-E-N-C-E is the essence of a man. The soul of a man is the essence of a man. In other words, when you talk about a man is his soul, so to speak. Because whatever a man is in his soul, so is he. The soul is the essence of a man. It's made up of his will, his mind, and his intelligence. Alright? And his emotions. Alright? So that is the essence of a man. He will restore our damaged essence. Our damaged minds, our damaged wills, our damaged emotions has to be restored by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why will he have to do that? The answer is in Hebrews chapter 7 and then verse 25. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Why is he going to restore our essence? Hebrews 7:25, he says that, wherefore he is able, he's talking about this shepherd Jesus. Oh, I thank God for Jesus. He is able also to save them to the uttermost, and please underline uttermost, that come unto God by him. Those who come to God by him is talking about Christians. He is not just going to save your spirit, but he is going to save you to the uttermost, to the farthest. In other words, he is going to complete his work of salvation, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. So he intercedes for which people? For the people who come to God by him. He has an assignment, because these are Christians who have trusted him. So he has an assignment not just to save their spirits, but to save their souls, and indeed to save their bodies. That is saving them to the uttermost. And the Bible says that that is the major work he is doing at the right hand side of the Father, trying, working to give us a total rehabilitation, a total makeover, not just of our spirits, but of our souls and of our bodies also. And he is going to do it until he has completed the sin, because he cannot leave that assignment in heaven and come down in returning to the earth until he has saved us to the uttermost. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is doing this critical work right now. May his work yield upon your life so that you are saved not just by your spirit, but also to the uttermost. So God wants Christians, he wants us to be total people. He doesn't want us to be like some caricatures, lopsided, cleanse one part, the other part is just disfigured and dirty and all that. That is not what he wants. He wants a people, he wants a church that is a total person.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. Our essence, which has been messed up, must be restored because he is excellent in working. You know, in the book of John chapter 14 verse 30, he said something. He said that the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Before Jesus Christ comes, this disposition of Jesus will be experienced by the church. The prince of this world is coming, but he has got nothing in me. The prince of this world is referring to the devil. Now, before he comes for the second time, the devil will try to assess the body of Christ on this earth, and he will come to that conclusion that there is nothing of the devil that is in us, because we would have been totally made over, totally restored by the Lord Jesus. Can I have an amen? It's exciting. Matthew 15 verse 13, Jesus Christ put it this way. He said that every plan, that's Jesus prophesying again. He said that every plan which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. It shall be taken from the roots. There will be no sign of it. There will be a complete makeover of our minds and of our will and of our emotions. So Jesus will do some work in our minds. He will take away all of the wrong things that the devil has over the years tried to attack our minds with, and all of the things that he has built, strongholds he has built in our minds. The Bible says that in Matthew 15, he was talking about the doctrine when he said that everything, every plan which my heavenly Father has not established shall be rooted up. And that is what he is going to do in his disciples or in his church and in our lives. Now, I want us to move on to look at how is Jesus going to restore our souls, our will, so that we are strong people. We are not weaklings who have got weak will. Our emotions, so that we are total people who respond properly. I mean, he is working to make us a total person. And then our minds, by rooting out any stronghold of the devil that is exalted against the knowledge of Jesus. How is he going to do that? I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and then verse 25. Ephesians 5 and then verse 25. We want to look at how is he going to restore the souls, the essence of Christians. Ephesians 5 and then verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Alright, so what did Jesus do? He loved the church and gave himself. He gave himself not for any reason, but motivated by love for the church, he gave himself already. In other words, he died for the church. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present the church, you and I, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So over here, we see God describing his vision. In fact, there are two things over here. We see the vision of God, and then we see his double provision. What is the vision of God? The vision of God is to just work on us in such a way that we will be without any defiling elements. That is, without spot. And without wrinkle means that there will be no disfiguring. A wrinkling is a disfiguring of the skin. But Jesus says that, I want to work on your life. I want to work on my church in such a way, that's God's vision, that there will be no defiling and there will be no disfiguring characteristic. All of it is going to be corrected by the Lord. And so the church, or you and I, will end up holy and blameless. Holy and without blemish means that without any blame, because we will be standing fully in our assignment, fully in our function. We'll be operating as a church at the highest level, capacity level. We'll be operating a very high life, that we will be before God holy and without any blame. No blame whatsoever. Every defiling will be taken away. Every disfiguring, no caricature, no sick, twisted mouth, no twisted hands, no wrong thing. Jesus says that this is what I intend to do. That is God's vision. Now we see the provision of God to fulfill this vision. I call it the double provision. The first provision is the blood, and the second provision is the word of God. Now look into the Bibles. I'm going to ask you a question. The first provision is what? The blood. Can we all say the blood? And the second provision is the word. Can we all say the word? All right. Now look at the passage we just read, and let's find out why Jesus Christ died for us. Why did Jesus die for us? Why did he love us and gave himself for us? The Bible gives us the reason in verse 26. He loved the church and gave himself to the church. My question is, why did he do that? There is a reason why he redeemed us. There is a reason why he loved us enough to die for us. There is a reason why he saved us. What is the reason in verse 26? It says that the reason is that he will sanctify us and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. So the blood redeems us for the word to do what? To cleanse us. The blood redeems us. We get saved. We get redeemed. Not that I am saved, I am redeemed, and I am okay before the Lord. You are not okay. I hope you can see that from the Bible. Yeah, it's there. You are not okay. It says that I gave myself for it. I died for it. I redeemed it. I saved it. I forgave it. That I will subsequently sanctify and cleanse her with the word. Not with the blood. With the what? With the word of God. So how is the vision of God preparing the church and restoring us, making us total human beings without disfiguring, without defiling? How is he going to do it? By the washing of water by the word. What does it mean? It means that when you become a Christian, you are not okay for presentation. You are not okay for presentation until you expose your saved life to the word of God. For the word of God to cleanse it.
and to wash it until you get to the place where there is no disfiguring, because the word of God would have corrected every disfiguring, every wrinkle, every defilement, until we become holy and without blemish. All of this is important. Jesus Christ came not with the blood alone. He came, the Bible says that this is he that came not by blood alone, but that came by the water and by the blood. Double provision to realize the vision. But you know what I realize is that many people stop their life, their Christian life, as I'm born again. I am saved. I am redeemed. Question. Has he worked on your soul? Has the word of God touched your mind? Has it touched your will? Has it touched your emotions? Has your emotions, which is disfigured and which is contorted, has it been shaping and put in the right shape by the word of God? So that you can stand up as a believer and be ready for Jesus to present you before the Father. Hallelujah. So the way Jesus Christ does all this is that he uses his word. He uses his word. In fact, he uses the word of God more than even the blood. The blood redeems you so that the word of God will wash you. And the word of God will sanctify you. He will use the truth to correct you and to prop you and to lift you and to massage you and come to the place where you have the correct figure. Because he wants to save you to the uttermost before he stops his intercession and return. There must be a restoration of our souls, of our essence. Hallelujah. Look at James chapter 1 verse 21. So what we must do as believers is constantly to expose your life to the Bible. What the Bible does is that it will always correct you. The Bible will always correct you. Don't ever be tired of correction. When you come to church, by all means, don't think that nobody will correct you. No, the word of God is given for correction. And we must correct out of the word of God, founded upon the word of God, the rock, that the correction of the wrong thing will stand the test of time. Hallelujah. James 1 verse 21, what does it say? Wherefore lay aside, he is now encouraging Christians, redeemed people, saved people, people who are born again, says that lay aside all filthiness and superfluity or abundance of naughtiness. He's talking to believers. Believers can be naughty people, children of God, sons of God, but very naughty in their attitude, very naughty in their behavior. He says that wherefore you are born again, but lay that one aside and receive with meekness, underline meekness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word. The Bible is talking about the word of God having an effect, an impact on us. That when we hear the word of God, it must mold our lifestyle. It must make us do changes in our attitude, changes in our lifestyle. We must not hear the word of God like people in coma, who cannot move their limbs, who cannot act. They hear everything, but they don't take any action. We must hear the word of God, and the word of God must mold our values. It must mold our ambitions. It must mold our personal visions. It must mold our family traits and the way we handle ourselves. The word of God must cleanse us until we get to the point where nobody in this world can blame the church. Nobody can point a finger at the church and say that because the church of the Lord is not functioning, because the church of the Lord is in a spiritual coma, where they hear the word spoken, but they are not dead. They only need a certain revival so that they will move their limbs, they will move their legs, and they will get things doing so that they are without any blame, any fault. That's what Jesus or God is working at. First Peter, once we are around the end of the Bible, First Peter chapter 1 verse 9. So the Bible says that receive with meekness. The word of God is always received with humility. If you don't humble yourself, the word of God will come and you will stamp on the word of God. Say, the word is nothing in my life. But the word must break us. The word of God must change us. The word of God must be said that when we hear it, we are ready for adjustment of our thoughts, adjustment of our lives, adjustment of what we value. It must change with the word of God. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 1 verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith. These are people of faith, but they must receive the end of their faith, even the salvation of their very essence, which Jesus is working on. Hebrews 7:25. Until we are saved to the uttermost, not just the inner, but affecting your soul and ultimately your body. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. It says that we must receive the salvation of your soul. I like the way he put it. It says that receiving, that is a present continuous thing. It's a present continuous washing and correcting and things like that. Exposing yourself to the word of God. Receiving present continuous the salvation of your very essence, of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Hallelujah. So let us humble ourselves to the word of God and make the word of God mean something to us. Let it cleanse your thoughts. Jesus really means to cleanse our thoughts. If you think that it's okay once I can perform my function in the church, no, that is not okay. Jesus wants to cleanse your thoughts. He wants to cleanse your motives. Motives is more important to him than what you do outside. The brain, the mind behind it means a lot to him. Cleanse your motive. Cleanse your imagination. What are the things you imagine? Cleanse your attitude. Cleanse your relationship with the word of God. May the Lord, our shepherd, may he restore our souls. May he restore our very essence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.